Today on Real Radio.
In verse 10, you have carefully followed my manner of living. And this word manner of living is simply this, standard or lifestyle. The lifestyles of the righteous and faithful. That's Paul. And what kind of lifestyle is it? In Philippians 4:12, he says, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Philippians 4:12. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry. That's a discipline.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the two letters written by the Apostle Paul to Timothy. We're in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and the young pastor's mentor, Paul, continues to issue warnings about those who pervert and water down the true gospel. He also issues a guarantee to all who follow the Messiah, a guarantee that's not real popular these days. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs in a presentation called Follow Those Who Are True.
When I was a little guy, I started playing, Pop Warner, Junior All-American Football, and I was like 9 years old, and there was this animal on our team. Massive guy. He always had to fast, and remember those days, guys, when you were too big and you had to make the scales, you had to weigh in, and this poor guy would sweat and fast, never got to eat because he had to make the weight. He was huge. And I was this little scrawny guy, and my mom was pumping hamburgers down my throat every day with milkshakes and this stuff called MLO to put muscle on. Because I was this little scrawny guy. And I remember this guy, John Carroll, he was real quiet, and he'd just stand there, and he'd just look around, and they'd give him the ball, and he would just run people over. And I thought, oh, that's how I want to be. Oh, I want to be just like that. And he used to carry his fingers a certain way. He would always be going like this. And I started doing that. And he was real quiet, and it's hard for me to be quiet, but he was such an example, I wanted to be just like him. I mimicked him. He got a certain helmet, and I went and told my dad. I said, I got to get one just like that. Went down to the sporting goods store and bought it. And isn't that what it's all about in a way? I mean, isn't that what happens with our children? They're mimicking our lives no matter what we do. Have you noticed? No matter what we do. Pray like this, they pray like this. Argue like this, they argue like that. We mimic our role models, our examples. Children will grow up to be like their father if they like it or not. And if it's in a negative, thank God that he redeems us. But there are godly attributes in godly men and in godly women. In John chapter 7, verse 14 and 15, it says, now about the middle of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. Are we to teach? Jesus taught. Jesus taught expositionally too. He taught the books of the Bible. And the Jews marveled. This word is to be struck. They were shocked. They marveled, saying, how does this man know letters? He's not a scholar. He didn't graduate from my class, having never been a student, they said. Well, I only got one rebuttal for that. He wrote the book. He was God in the flesh, but he taught us and showed us an example. And by studying the Bible and by mimicking godly examples, we understand that through those principles, either as a Christian or not as a Christian, you will portray a certain standard or style of living. And that will form, listen, that will form our convictions. Are you kind of, you love the Lord, you don't know the Bible too much, you really have some doubts about a lot of things? Hey, you're not going to be able to contend for the faith with all your heart. You know why? Because the Scripture doesn't have all your heart yet. But the moment you study to show yourself approved unto God, nobody will be able to withstand you. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen is preaching the gospel. He knew the scriptures, and nobody could withstand him. We need to know the word of God, and the more you study, the greater your convictions will be. You'll be brainwashed, washed clean. And then all that, it shows in our lives that we live out that it's a proven gospel message. But he says, but you have carefully followed, and he says here, my doctrine. And by the way, people, in the Greek, it's actually this way, my doctrine, my manner of living, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering. And you might think, well, what an arrogant little bugger Paul is. No, don't think that. He is doing what we need to do. Is Jesus your Jesus this morning? Is the Bible your Bible? That's exactly what Paul is saying. My doctrine. It's not that he made it up. It's that he lives it. He possesses the doctrines of God, and he's walking them out in his life. My. And in a really good way, it's a possessiveness. And this word doctrine means to be adhering to his teaching or to his instruction. It's a very aggressive word that he's saying. In 1 Corinthians 2:2, the Bible tells us, Paul again speaking, I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's all Paul pretended to know among them. He certainly had the knowledge to share other things, but he did not. In Acts chapter 20, verse 27, he says, for I have not shunned to declare to you the full counsel of God. He gave the word of God. He gave doctrine. Now, you know what, people? Chances are my heart is more in tune with this, I pray not, than you this morning, because I've been in this for hours. But this must have been incredibly heartwarming for Timothy. There was a bunch of false prophets running around. The church was under deep attack. Paul's in jail, and Paul is telling Timothy through this letter, I'm really blessed, I'm blown away, you followed my doctrine. And in four instances, Paul refers to Timothy as my son. My son, my son, my son, my son. Four times. And this must have just warmed his heart, because in one of those encouragements, Paul said in 2 Timothy 1:13, he says, hold fast, cling on to the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me. Just like a daddy would talk to his children, or the children would pick up from the parents. The pattern or the mold of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and in love which are in Christ Jesus, that good thing which was committed to you, he says there in 2 Timothy chapter 1. He is portraying out and living out before Timothy not only a message, but a life. And that's the thrust of the message this morning. How are we living? Are we Christians? Are we living a dynamic Christian experience? Now, this morning, if you are not, don't shoot yourself in the foot and say, well, then I give up and I'm going to quit being a Christian. No. If you love the Lord and your life is boring as a Christian, ask Jesus Christ now in your heart, Lord, I want to be on the cutting edge. I've only lived a moment of this Christian stuff. It sounds so remote to me. Lord, I want to understand this and I want to live it. Ask him. And he'll begin to work that out in your life, which leads right into this. He says there in verse 10, you have carefully followed my manner of living. And this word manner of living is simply this, standard or lifestyle. The lifestyles of the righteous and faithful. That's Paul. And what kind of lifestyle is it? In Philippians 4:12, he says, I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Philippians 4:12. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry. That's a discipline. To be content and to be able to not be grumbling and griping when you're hungry or when you're poor. Paul says, I've learned to be able to abound. He didn't just make it through hard financial times. He abounded through them. And I get nervous, you guys. Maybe I'm just too literal. But if we're to be ministers of Jesus Christ, I don't think we're supposed to live in a fortified fortress. We live in a glass house. Hey, when we're driving around, you're driving around. In fact, I see somebody in here, you're visiting for the first time. I've never seen you before, but we're driving side by side all the way down here in traffic this morning. And I could have been picking my nose or running over a dog or yelling at my wife. I looked over at the light and saw you there. Wondering, well, I honestly thought, I wonder what church they're going to. Well, how are we living? And Paul says, Timothy, you followed my manner of living. What does that mean? He had a stretch donkey. It was black with an antenna on the back. Did he have a donkey phone? Did his donkey have tinted eyeballs? And did it have gold hoofs on the donkey? There are ministers. We'd like to come play music at Calvary Chapel. Well, great. We'd love to have you. Love your music. $3,000 and we need to be put up in a hotel. We like fresh cut fruit in our room. Read my lips. We're supposed to be ministers. Servants. And there are people who, under the guise of that, parade themselves around with your money. And I don't understand that at all. In fact, Paul suffered for the sake of the people. In Acts chapter 20, verses 33 to 34, and listen, circle this, mark it in red. I have coveted no man's silver or gold. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for all of my needs, and not only my needs, but the needs of those who travel with me. I have shown you in every way by laboring. Isn't that interesting? But what do we hear? That was Acts 20, verses 33 to 34. But what do we hear today? God wants to bless your life, brother, so send in all your money to me. Don't they say it? The most you can. You know, God wants you to give till it hurts. I want him to minister till it hurts. Paul says, we are the ones that are to be laboring to the point of exhaustion, not the sheep. We're supposed to feed the sheep. The sheep don't feed the pastors. And Paul says, follow my manner of living. Follow my lifestyle. And I really, really don't understand that there are well-meaning people, and I know this upsets so many people, but I just beg of you, read your Bible. Jesus gave, he didn't take. Paul gave, he didn't take. Wherever they went, the church was better off for them being there. And yet, you speak against things like this, and people get all upset and all angry. And I just say this now. Boy, I tell you, after last week, I believe now this morning more than ever before that we're living in the midst of those perilous times. Which leads us right into his next statement. He has shown us these things. Look, he says, and you have carefully followed my purpose. And here's the heartbeat of Paul the Apostle. This is it. Listen to this. Paul's heart was blood red for the gospel of Jesus Christ. This word purpose in the Greek is prosthesis, an extension, an addition. And the word means to display. It's something added into your life that's put on display. Isn't that interesting? There's a lot of that taking place today. People are having things added on. You know, if this is too big, you can add this to your thing and fix that and this. And, you know, if you're, you can have those added on too. And, you know, everyone's got these prostheses and vanity. And God looks around and, hey, how about prostheses, the gospel, holiness, righteousness, godliness? Add this to your life. And Paul the Apostle says, you followed my display. And it first begins like this, people. In 2 Corinthians 11:2, he says, "For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have engaged you to one husband that I may present you as a pure or chaste virgin to Christ." And that's his heartbeat of the gospel. His purpose is to feed the people with the word of God. In Philippians 3:17, he says, "Brethren, join in following my example." And here he says, "Note those who so walk, as you have also the pattern." And he goes on to warn us in Philippians 3:17, "For many walk, not concerning these things, but after their own bellies," actually. He warns us, but he's so precious to say, "Brethren, join in following my example." Can I say that this morning? Man, can I say, you know, Fred, Bob, John, follow my example. Be just like me. That makes me sick. I mean, I cringe at that thought. I would love to be able to fellowship with you and you say, you know what? I want to be just like you. Do you realize the accountability? That's why Paul said when he taught this, he said, "I came to you with fear and trembling." Oh, we need to be godly examples that we're to follow. It's to imitate. You might want to jot these down. We're going to go through them quickly, so you won't be able to turn to those scriptures, but just write them down next to verse 10. Philippians 4:9, Paul says there, listen to this, "Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do." That's heavy. Do those things. 1 Corinthians 11:1, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." 1 Corinthians 4:16, "Therefore I urge you to imitate me." This word imitate is to mimic. It's to mimic. Right now in every one of our lives, we are mimicking somebody in our lives. There's somebody who gave us a godly example, and we try to follow that. And that's good. And we should do that. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12, the Bible tells us that we are to imitate those who have inherited the promises. We imitate them. And we see that in the Old Testament. In 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9, we see Elijah telling Elijah, "Oh, can I have a double spirit of what you have?" And that's what we're supposed to pray for. Those are godly things to seek after. And who are you looking for in your life to live out? Number one, of course it should be Jesus Christ. But Jesus lives his life out in men and women of God. And we're to mimic them. What do you think? Do you think Timothy did that? I think he excelled in it. In 1 Corinthians 4:17, Paul says this, "For this reason I'm sending to you Timothy, my son whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord. He will remind you of my way of living." 1 Corinthians 4:17 says that, my way of living. In Philippians 2:19, he says, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to send Timothy to you shortly." Isn't that awesome? And verse 20 says, "For I have no one who's like-minded and who will naturally care for you." That's the heartbeat of Paul. It's my heartbeat. Oh, God in heaven, not only may you make me a man of God, but may you amass around me men and women who fear and love Jesus Christ supremely, who are mimicking the Lord. And so, by the way, this purpose, I want to give you this, administer to my heart. You got to think about it a little bit. you want to be closer to Jesus, if you really want to be a Christian, listen to this. Your purpose will equate to your life lived. Your purpose will equate to your life lived, which means if you have a very lukewarm commitment to Christ, your life's going to be kind of lukewarm. If you're just kind of, you know, I'm a Christian and I'm kind of moseying along and no urgency, no real commitment to Bible, to prayer, to seeking the ways of the Lord, you're just kind of going to go on in and it's fine and cool. But there are a few here. I pray there are a lot here that have within their heart a burning purpose. And that purpose is so intense and so hot that you can't settle. You can't sit still. God burns in your heart. He burns in your soul. And every day you get up, you're saying, Lord, at my construction job, God, at my accounting, what do you want me to do? Who do you want me to share with? Father, what do you have in store for my life? And do you burn with a holy passion this morning? If you do not, ask him and you'll burn. It's his will for your life. To give you an example, I've been reading George Whitefield. I encourage you to check his book out of the library. If I don't have it, I might have it. But if it's in the library, check it out. There are others in there. George Whitefield, a radically committed man to God. Listen to this. It says here, but perhaps greater than all of these accomplishments of George Whitefield was his life itself. Charles Spurgeon said, often, as I have read his life, I am conscious of a distinct quickening whenever I turn to it. He lived. Other men seem to only be half alive, but Whitefield was all alive. Life, fire, wing, and force. He's my model. Spurgeon said, he's my model. If I may have such a thing in due subordination to my Lord, it is this, that I would be like George Whitefield, but with unequal steps I must follow in his glorious track. Isn't that awesome? The great Spurgeon himself followed after George Whitefield. Jonathan Edwards. My heart, people, my goal is to be able to preach and teach like Jonathan Edwards. It would probably cause 100 of you to leave this place if I did it right now, but nonetheless, that's what I want to do. He was radical. He'd hang over the pulpit. I mean, he was over there. Those pulpits were like 25 feet high in those days. Gigantic things. The guy'd have to go up a staircase. And he would hang over the pulpit in his robes. He would hang there and preach the word of God with such intensity, they said that the front rows would get wet from his tears as he expounded the word of God to people. Probably the greatest preacher that America ever produced, Jonathan Edwards.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a look at part of 2 Timothy chapter 3. It's a presentation called Follow Those Who Are True, a valuable bit of advice on emulating those godly examples we've all met. On tomorrow's edition of Real Radio, we'll continue with more of this mini-series that takes a look at 2 Timothy 3 and verses 10 through 15. Remember, this entire series through 1 and 2 Timothy is now available all on one convenient MP3 CD. And for your tax-deductible contribution of any amount to Real Radio, we'll send it your way. Just ask for the study series through 1 and 2 Timothy by Pastor Jack. Find out more, visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. To get in touch with us here by telephone, call our toll-free number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or for the mere cost of a stamp, you can write us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word.
Inside you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.